Mishnah Yomis for Wednesday, the 24th day of Menachem Av, Tovshin Pei Dalad. Masechta Baba Kama, Perik Shishi, Mishnah Dalad. Hashalech HaSabeir, a person who sends, literally sends, it means he gives a fire, Biyad Cheresh, in the hands of a deaf mute, Shota, a cotton, or a retarded person, or a minor, Potter, the person who gives him the fire, is exempt. Bidinei Adam, in a court of law, because they're not his shluchim, they're not considered agents, so therefore the person who sends them is exempt. V'chayav bidei shamayim, but morally, in heaven's eyes, literally, he would have an obligation to pay, morally. The Gemara explains, when do we say in the Mishnah that he is exempt in the human court, bidinei Adam? This is if he just gave a smouldering ember, and they ignited it. The kid or the cheresh or the shota ignited it. Because had they not done an active ignition of this ember, it would have gone out. And the person sending this or giving it to them didn't have to think, oh, they're going to go to ignite it and get it flamed again. But if he gave them a fire that was actually already burning, it was a flame, had a flame already, then there's chayv. The person who gives it to them is absolutely chayv because his actions clearly caused the damage directly. Shilach biyad pikeach, what happens if the person sends the fire through a normal person and that person lit up, used it to burn someone else's property? Hapikeach chayv. Then the person who took it is chayv to pay for damages. The one who sent it or gave it to him is exempt, even morally. Why? Why don't we say shlucha shaladim kamoisa, that a shlich of a person, an agent of a person, is like he did it? So why don't we say attribute this damage, this burning of someone's property, attribute it to the one who sent it? And that's because ein shlich l'dvar avera. We have a special law that says that when a person sends someone to do an avera, we do not transfer his act to the one who sent him. Echad hevi esa or, if one person sent the fire, or brought the fire. Echad hevi esa etzim. Another person brought the wood, the timber, and lit it up in the fire. And the fire spread and caused damage. Hamevi esa etzim chayev. It's the last person, the one who brought the fuel, the wood, is guilty. He has to pay. He's liable for damages. Without him, the fire would have gone out. What about the other way around? Echad hevi esa etzim. One per brought the fuel, the wood first. Echad hevi esa or, and the other person brought the fire. Then the one who brought the fire is liable for damages because he made the fire. What happens if another person, a third person, came and he ignited, he pumped oxygen into the fire, and the fire now lit up as a result of that? The one who ignited it is chayv. And the first two are exempt, the one who put the wood and the one who put the fire are exempt because it would have gone out. What happens if a wind caught hold of it? Kulan peturin. Everyone is exempt. The one who brought the wood, the one who brought the fire, they're all exempt. And why is that? The Mishnah Gemara explains that this is only talking about, or Tosfos explains it's talking about a case where the wind that came was an unusual wind. It was what we call a ruch she'ena metzuya. It was a gale force wind, which happens very rarely. And that's why they weren't to expect that it would have come, that such a gale would have come, and therefore they're exempt. If, however, it would have been what's called a ruch metzuya, a normal wind that comes, you know, quite often, then the last one would be chayv, the last person, because the fire, as long as the fire can continue, if it could have continued in a ruch metzuya, in an ordinary wind, ordinary force wind, he should have had the care to watch that the fire does not go out and cause damage. Hashalech HaSaber, a person who ignites a fire. V'achla Eitzim, and that fire consumed other people's timber. Oyavonim Eofro, consumed its stones, damaged them. Oyofor, or ruined a person's ploughed field. Chayev, a person is chayev to pay full damages. Shenemar, as it says, Kiseitza Eish, or Motzak Eitzim, when fire will go out and catch wood, or catch thorns, v'nechel godish oyakom oyasoda, and a haystack, or a stack of produce, or the standing, or the growing wheat, the growing produce, oyasoda, or the field itself, will be consumed, will be damaged, Shalem Yishalem Hamavir Sabera. The one who lit that fire has to pay damages. And because it says Oy Hasada, or the field, it's talking about even where a field itself could be damaged, such as stones in the field, or boulders that were being used, or the ploughing that he has to now redo. Ovro Goder Shehu Gavoy Abramas. What happens if the fire crossed over a fence that was 4 amas high, and the fire went above that? And we're talking about a case where he lit it in his own property, not in someone else's, in his own property, but he didn't guard the fire that it shouldn't spread outside his rishus, outside his property. But there was a fence that was 4 amas that was separating between him, between the fire and his field, his friend's field. Oy derech harabim, or there was a public thoroughfare that was defined as 16 amas wide. Oy nahar, or there was a river, which was even if it's 8 amas wide. Potter, he's exempt. Because this is clearly an oinus, this is something unexpected, it's something so unusual. So he's potter, it's not the something that you can say, oh, he should have been more careful. Hamadlik besach shalai, now we'll soon see that there's going to be difference of opinion about this. Hamadlik besach shalai, if a person lights something in his own property, in a place where there is no hefsek, there is no interruption, there's no fences, etc. How far? Ad kama tavar hadleka, how far does the fire have to travel for a person to still be chayiv? Or how far? Up till what distance do we say he's still chayiv? Ablozer ben Azariah Emer, he says, Roi noisaki elohi b'amtsa beiskor. We look at it as if it's in the middle of a beiskor. Beiskor is a field that you can sow 30 saw in it, 30 saw of wheat. It's an area that's 274 amas by 274 amas, which is about 75,000 square cubits. And when he lit it, we're looking at it as if he lit it in the middle of the field. So he lights it in the middle of the field. That means for the perimeter around where he's lit it, 137 amas in all directions. That's considered already close enough for it to be chayiv. If it went beyond that shear, if he had a space up to 274 amas or more, he'll be exempt. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, 16 amas. He says no. He says, see, even 16 amas in all directions. Kederuch Shus Rabim, like this is the width of a Shus Rabim, which we said before, that if it passes Shus Rabim, he's potter. Rabbi Akiva Omer, 50 amas. He says, up to 50 amas, he'll be chayev. But anything more than 50 amas, he's potter. And the last opinion, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shalem Yishalem Hamavir Sabeira. The Torah says, the one who burnt the fire shall surely pay. Hakol Lefi Hadleka. Everything according to the fire. You cannot give an arbitrary shear of 50 amos or 100 amos. He says it simply depends on how high that flames are. And if the flame is big, if the fire is tall and a large fire, then it can spread far and wide. And in that case, even if it passes beyond the shiurim that we've mentioned in our Mishnah, he would be chayiv. And indeed, halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Mishnah Hay. A madlik sagodish, a person who lights ends up lighting up a stack of grain. He lit it in his own property, but the fire got hold of the stack of his friend. V'hoyu b'kelim, and in that stack, in that haystack, there was equipment there, in the goddish, v'dolku, and they got burnt up as well. Is the one who lit the fire in his property that spread to the neighbor's goddish, the neighbor's haystack, and burnt the equipment inside, is he chayv for the kelim as well? Rabbi Huda Omer Yishalim Masha Besocha. He has to pay for whatever is inside those kelim, even for the, not just for the haystack, but for the kelim, for the equipment that was in that haystack. Achachamim Omerim Eino Meshalim El Agodish Shel Chitino Shel Soirim. He's only responsible to pay for a haystack of wheat, or a stack of wheat or barley, whatever it was that got burnt. He's only chayav to pay what was revealed to the eye, but not for the kelim that are in there. And he learns that, the Chachamim learn that, from the Pasuk where it says, V'nechal godish oi hakoma, that the stack of grain, or the standing grain, was consumed by the fire. So there's a comparison, the Chazal say, that the Chumash is making, the Torah is making. Ma Koma Bagola, just like the standing wheat, is obviously revealed. You can see it growing. So too, anything that's revealed, to exclude things that have been hidden in the Godish. Person doch high for it. Now, the Mefarshim explain, Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim are arguing about both equipment that is normal to put inside a haystack, maybe some tools, farming tools, agricultural equipment, or whether there were things that you don't normally put in a haystack. For example, a purse had a whole lot of notes or cash or whatever. The Chachamim hold one is potter for both kelim that are normally put there and kelim that are not there, and that's from the pasuk. It's a gzeras hakosim. The Chachamim, however, even though they said one is exempt for the articles or for the things that are the equipment that's there, they are chayiv for the place of the kelim where the kelim were, which means we view, let's say, of this haystack, 20% of it was taken up by equipment that was in there. So we'd say that we'd look at the 20% as if that was also full of barley or also full of wheat, whatever the stack of grain was. And he'll have to pay as if it was full of that particular variety, whatever that grain was. Hoyo gidi kofusle. What happens if there is a goat that was attached to the stack, to the haystack, and that goat was not able to run away? The avid somuchle, and there happens to be also an avid, a Jewish avid that's nearby, but wasn't bound, he wasn't tied up. He could have escaped. V'nisrafimoy, and he was burnt with it. He was burnt together with the goddish, with the haystack. Chayiv, we say the avid was consumed. He said he's chayiv for payment for the haystack and for the goat. But for the avid, he's potter. Even though the avid got killed, Rachmon al-Islan, but the avid could have escaped. So therefore, he's not responsible for the avid. But he's chayiv to pay for the goddish, for the haystack, and for the goat. Avid kofusloi ugdiso mukhloi. What happens the other way around? What happens if the avid was tied up, couldn't escape? He was tied up next to this goddish, this stack. And the gedi, the goat, somuchlo, was nearby and could have escaped. And was burnt with the goddess that was burnt with the stack. Potter, the person is exempt from damages for paying for the goat. Why is that? Because he's got a much more serious penalty to pay. He's chayiv misa for the avid, for the servant that got killed. The Jewish servant, that avid that got killed there as a result of his fire. And that's regardless of whether he actually gets killed or whether there was witnesses, no witnesses. He did an act which would make him chayiv misa had it been with proper witnesses and warning. So we say he's chayiv. He's chayiv misa regarding the avid, or has a chiyuv of misa even if they can't actually carry it out because of lack of witnesses. But he's potter, he's exempt for damages for the goddess. We have a principle called kumle midrabi minei. If you've got a more serious penalty and a less serious penalty, we say he's chayiv for the more serious penalty, but not for the less one. Now, that's for the case of where the gedir was kofusloi and the avid was somuchloi. The avid, was tied up, and the gedir was it doesn't say what the gedir was. The gedir, it doesn't matter if it was tied up or not. He's potter for the gedir goat in any case. But the second case, ugedir somuchloi, is read as another case, or where the goat was simply close by and could have escaped. In both cases, he's exempt for the goddess, for the goat. In the first case, he's potter because of kumale mirabi minei. He's going to get killed, or there's a chiv misa because of the abbot. In the second case, it's because if the goat's not tied up, then the goat could have escaped. He's not responsible for the goat. Umoidim chachomim l'rabbi Yehuda b'madlikis habira shehu mishalim koma shebesoicha. However, the chachomim do agree to Rabbi Yehuda, even though they argue with things that are tomun, that are buried within the haystack or the grain stack. They are agreeable if a person burns down the house of his friend, shehu mishalim, that he'll have to pay everything that's in that house. Because people normally put things in the houses. You normally keep your furniture. People keep their monetary assets, whatever it is. And therefore, because it's expected to be there, one is chayiv, even the Chachamim agrees, chayiv for the house and contents. The Gemara learns from here, is medayik from our Mishnah, that even if a person lit it, in his directly hit it, lit his house of his friend. And the fire went and consumed the godish and the grain stack and the equipment in it, that there too you'll have a machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he pays everything that's in it. The Chachamim will hold, in that situation, that he is chayiv to pay for the kalim, for equipment, that you would expect to find in a haystack, in a grain stack. But kalim that you don't expect to, he'd be potter. Because he doesn't have to think, oh, that a person put there expensive things like a purse or things that you don't normally put there. But again, this is in a case where he went and he lit it in the friend's property. That's where we say this distinction between derech lahatmin or not derech lahatmin. In the previous case, in the beginning of our Mishnah, when we talked about this machlokes, we're talking about where he lit it in his own property and it spread. And that's where the Chachamim seem to say that never chayiv for anything tom and anything that's inside the haystack.